Here's Nay Bailey.
I believe when we're hurt, we need to ask ourselves the question, is my God bigger than my hurt? Or is my hurt bigger than my God?
This is Revive Our Hearts with the author of Choosing Forgiveness, Nancy Lee DeMoss. It's day two of the True Woman 14 Conference. Don't forget, you can watch the free live stream today. Join thousands of women in Indianapolis and more around the world watching online. Get all the details at reviveourhearts.com. Now here's Nancy to introduce today's program.
What's the most difficult relational issue that you're facing? How are you responding to that situation? With complaining or bitterness, or with gracious words that speak life to the situation? Yesterday, we heard part one of a message from Nay Bailey on speaking words of life, even in negative situations. She gave us several moving examples of people who asked the Lord to transform their words. Their words changed, their hearts changed, and then their situations changed. If you missed part one of the message, I hope you'll go back and listen at reviveourhearts.com. Nay is a longtime Campus Crusade for Christ staff member. She's authored a book called Faith is Not a Feeling, and she's been a longtime dear personal friend that the Lord has used in my life in a special way. Now here's Nay with part two of the message, God in the Negative.
We reap what we sow. If we sow cursing, we're going to reap cursing. If we sow blessing, we'll reap blessing. And I'd a lot rather reap blessing, wouldn't you? We bring God into the negative by blessing and not cursing. Then the last way we bring God into the negative is by forgiving. We bring God into the negative by forgiving. I'd like for us to look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Verses 12 and 13. And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And here it comes. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now, I like that because the Lord acknowledges that we have complaints against each other. But he says, whoever has a complaint, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And it's when we realize how much he has forgiven us and receive that forgiveness, then we have some to offer to someone else. We saw today when we raised our hands that all of us have been hurt. And I think the deepest hurts that we ever have come from within our own families or come from the people that are closest to us. I know one of the deepest hurts that I ever had was from my father. My father was raised in a small town in North Louisiana. His father left his mother and kind of ran around and was unfaithful to her. My father's mother died when he was about 12. He was put with an aunt and uncle and a cousin. And my father didn't get very much emotionally as he grew up. My mother, on the other hand, was raised on a farm out in Oklahoma near Enid, near Cherokee, in a little town called Jet that probably most of you have never heard of, way out in the country. And they did everything together recreationally. They did everything together in church. They did the chores. Very close family, emotionally expressive. My mother and father married. I was born into that family as the first child. And at a very early age, I computed their differences to mean, my mother loves me and my daddy doesn't. And as I grew up in that household, I grew more bitter and more resentful as the days went by. I didn't like the way my father talked to my mother. I didn't like the way he talked to me. I didn't like it that he didn't come to things that were important to me. He didn't seem like he cared. And we just pretty much ignored each other. And I remember talking to my mother, and she would say, "Well, honey, I just can't talk to your daddy." Well, if she couldn't talk to him, I sure couldn't talk to him. And I would always try to talk to her to get her to talk to him, because I couldn't do that. Have any of you ever had those situations? It was tough. And if you had known me in high school or college, I would not have had one nice thing to say about my father. It is safe to say that I hated him. There was murder in my heart towards him. And I can remember in his second drawer, behind some of his underwear, he kept a gun. And I can remember going and picking that gun up and looking at it and wishing I could kill him. I mean, there was murder in my heart towards him. My father had a drinking problem, and I hated the sound of his opening that refrigerator door, and you'd hear the beer can hit the counter. And I would just leave. I'd go get in the car and leave and go be with my friends. And I can remember one night when my mother was at the church, and my father was drunk, and he was furious. And he said something about, "Your mother is at the blankety blank 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 church," and he gave this long string of things. And a little while later, he came to me and he said, "Where's your mother?" And I said back to him what he had just said. I said, "She's at the blankety blank blank blank." And he came after me and chased me around into the bedroom and hit me and knocked me across the room. And I fell across the bed. And when I did, he slipped on a rug and fell. And his arm came out of joint. And he went into the restroom or the bathroom and just moaned and groaned. Pretty soon my mother came home, and we took him to the hospital. And we were in the hospital with him all night long. Now, one of the reasons I remember this so vividly is because that next morning, I had been asked by the Dean of Women at our college I was a freshman at the time, to give a 5-minute devotional type thing for the Who's Who Chapel. And I can remember what an eerie sensation that was to stand up there and give that little talk and think, no one knows what I've been through the night before. No one knows. Because my father had never seemed interested in me or anything I did, it never occurred to me to get his counsel about whether or not I should go on the Campus Crusade staff or not. You hear a lot about that today, about getting the counsel of your parents. But it frankly just did not cross my mind to get his counsel. So I joined the staff of Crusade, been on the staff a couple years, and I heard someone talk about something that I'd never heard before. They said, "God is love." I'd heard that before, but they went on to say that if God is love, then 13th Corinthians is how God loves you and how God loves me. And before that time, people had said to me, "Put your own name in there where it says love, like, nay is patient, nay is kind, nay hopes all things, bears all things, endures all things." And I would always fall short, and I didn't like that. But what they were saying was that God's love towards me was patient. God's love towards me was kind. God's love towards me would hope all things and endure all things and bear all things. I never, ever thought of the fact that God had a 13th Corinthians type love for me. Then I began to think about my father as I left that meeting. And I thought, all these years I've been waiting for my father to shape up and stop drinking, and then I was going to love him. But it was as though God said to me, "Nay, you've got more light. You've got more grace. My love towards your father is kind. My love towards your father is patient. My love towards your father hopes all things, endures all things, and bears all things. Nay, I want you to take the first step towards him." Tears began to stream down my face as I realized, even though I was in Christian work, I did not have God's love for my very own father. It seemed like the Lord had done something new in my life, but I knew I wasn't going to know till I was home and I was in it. And a few months later, I went home with an attitude of acceptance and love. And as I went in the house and had this new attitude towards him of acceptance and love and forgiveness, guess what? He sensed my spirit. And as I was nice to him, he was nice back. My father didn't know much about how to love, but he knew how to respond a little bit to love. And I thought, if I had known it was going to make this much difference, I might have been nice a lot sooner. And while I was home on that trip, I remember my father was a lawyer, and he went over to a dress shop, one of his clients, and brought home three dresses on approval. He had never done that before for me to try on. He went with me to the doctor and made sure that I had the right medicine. When I left home that time, I began to think about how the Lord says, honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And I said, Lord, you're the one that thought up this thing about honoring. Now, will you show me how to do that? And the Lord began to give me ways that I could demonstrate love to them. And for the first time in my life, I thanked the Lord for my father and for my mother. More time passed, and this is going to sound a little melodramatic, but this actually did happen. I was sitting one day, and I was just kind of staring into space. Do you ever do that? You just sort of stare into space. And I began to think about my father. And I thought, if my father were to die, and I were to go to his funeral, and I would look out and see his casket, would I have any regrets? And I thought, yes, I would regret that I had never asked him to forgive me for some of my ugly ways in my growing up years. So I purposed in my heart to go home and ask his forgiveness. Now, he described himself as a bullheaded lawyer, so to think about talking to him was very scary. You know, when I imagined it in my mind, I imagined myself lying prostrate on the floor, sobbing my heart out, unable to utter a word. But I was living in Dallas at the time, and I went home, and it was football season, and I knew enough not to talk during the ball game. So I waited until halftime. My mother left the room, and I said, Daddy, you know, I've been thinking about my growing up years, how ungrateful and unloving and unkind I was. And I said, will you forgive me? And there was this pause, and he kind of turned and looked at me and had a twinkle in his eye, and he said, no. And he said, I don't remember all those things. And then he named one. And I knew it was important to get a response from him, so I said, well, will you forgive me for the things that you can remember? And he said, yes. Right after that, he said, now, where are you going on your next trip? He had never asked me that before, ever. I remember I said, Houston and Nacogdoches, Texas. Then he said, you know, you're getting ready to drive back to Dallas, and there's a cheeseburger in there from last night. Why don't I warm that up for you? I said, good idea. Now, no way did I want a cold, warmed-up cheeseburger. I think it was a Whopper burger. And he took it, lettuce, tomatoes, sack, and all, and stuck it in the oven. And on the way out the door, he handed me this warmed-up sack. And then he said, now, when will I see you next, and when will you be home next? And I said, December 21st or 22nd. And he said, I'll see you on the 21st. He smiled. When I left, I began to think about the verses that are at the end of Malachi. It says, the Lord will turn the hearts of the fathers towards their children and the hearts of the children towards their fathers. And that was what was happening to me. More time passed, and I moved to California. And one day in California, where I live now, my mother called me, and she said, honey, your dad found something in a catalog and it reminded him of you, and he went out and he bought it and he had it wrapped and he sent it UPS all by himself, and he's sending you a surprise. I said, Mother, what is it? Tell me. I'm not telling. It's a surprise. I could not wait for that package to come. He had never done that before. When it finally came and I opened it, inside was a little Melita two-cup coffee maker in a brown travel case. Because he knew at that time I was drinking a lot of coffee, and he knew I was traveling a lot. And I remember I held that in my hands, and I said, oh, Lord, this represents a lot more than a Melita two-cup coffee maker. This represents a relationship that you have restored. More time passed, and several years ago, I went home for Christmas to Shreveport, where my parents live. My sister Brenda was there with her family from Illinois. My sister Kim was there with her family. My brother Ed had a wonderful time. left, went back to California. On January 2nd, I received a telephone call that my father had become critically ill and they didn't expect him to live. They tried to prepare me for what it was like in the intensive care unit when I went home, with all the tubes coming out of everywhere. Some of you have been through that and may be going through it right now. I wasn't prepared for what I saw. The way it worked was the family could go in 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon, 10 minutes at night. My mother could go in and stay the whole 10 minutes, but we four children had to line up out in the hall and we could go in for about 2 minutes. When it was my turn to go in for the first time, they had told my father that I was on my way to Atlanta. I don't know why they did that. They didn't want to scare him. They didn't want him to think that I had come home just for him. I kind of wish now that they had told him that, but they said that I was on my way to Atlanta because they figured I'd be on my way to Atlanta someday. And when I got in there, wouldn't you know, my father was a real weather watcher. I mean, he loved to watch the weather and listen to the weather. And wouldn't you know it, the weather was bad in Atlanta. And so that's what he was talking about, was the weather was bad in Atlanta. We talked about that for a minute or so. And I said, well, Daddy, I probably better go now and let Brenda come in. She's out in the hall waiting. And I said, I love you, Daddy. And he said, I love you too, honey, whether you're in here or whether you're out in the hall waiting to come in. And those were to be the very last words that he was ever to speak to me. And several days later, as I sat in that funeral home and I looked out and I saw that casket, I remembered. I remembered that when I didn't feel like it, I chose with my will to put my mustard seed of faith over on the Lord's side and choose with my will to forgive my father. I believe when we're hurt, we need to ask ourselves the question, is my God bigger than my hurt? Or is my hurt bigger than my God? Is my God bigger than my hurt? Or is my hurt bigger than my God? We are the ones that get to choose. There are so many things, we could name hundreds of them, that are absolutely inexcusable. We know them. But there is nothing that is unforgivable. Someone has said, to forgive is to set the prisoner free, only to discover that the prisoner was you. I'll say that again. To forgive is to set the prisoner free, only to discover that the prisoner was you. And when we choose with our wills to forgive, what we do is we take that person off of our hook. But you know what? It's kind of comforting to know we can leave them on God's hook. You can leave them on God's hook, but you take them off your hook. I believe we're most like Christ when we're forgiving. We're not most like Christ when we're perfect. We're most like Christ when we're forgiving. My dad never asked me to forgive him, but God asked that of me, and it made all the difference. And I want to say this. Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, Nay, what if the person I need to forgive has already died? I have good news for you. God is not limited by time. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe you can tell the Lord what you would have said, and He will honor that. Another thing I want to say is there are times when you have a piece of the puzzle in a difficult relationship or situation, and you can't put that puzzle together by yourself, and you need some help. There is a place for godly, biblical counseling. Another thing, I think, I'm not talking about being irresponsible. We need to be responsible because love has limits. And another thing I want to say is that I do believe there is a place to bear one another's burdens. You know, sometimes people say to me, well, Nay, you know, can I tell somebody what's going on in my life? Absolutely. Because you need to bear one another's burdens so you can pray for one another, so you can be healed. Is there a negative in your life? We need to praise God and to thank Him. Are you cursing someone? You need to begin to bless them instead. Is there a deep, deep hurt? We need to forgive. And by so doing, we bring God into the negative and we release His power to work. Well, Father, we thank You once again for making Your Word practical in our lives. And Father, we know that we are helpless in and of ourselves to do anything about the situations that have come to our minds. We come to You for salvation with all of our helplessness and our neediness, and for the rest of our lives we keep coming back with all of these situations in our helplessness and our neediness. And Father, we call upon You in these situations that have come to mind to do in and through us and for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And as we close our time in prayer, if there is any situation that's come to your mind where you want to choose with your will right now to put your mustard seed of faith over on the Lord's side, I'd invite you to do that right now quietly in your heart. Father, I pray for each situation that is being lifted to you now and will be lifted to you as there's time to reflect even later on. I pray You would go before each one and You would make the crooked places straight. And Father, I pray that You would do in each life exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ask or think, according to Your power that works within them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's Nay Bailey wrapping up a message called God in the Negative. I think you'll agree that this has been a powerful reminder that we need to let the Lord bless others through us and through our words. When Nay was speaking about difficult, painful relationships, did one or more people come to your mind? I know they did when I listened to this message not too long ago. So have you truly forgiven and set free those who've wronged you? I meet so many women who are consumed by bitterness. In fact, I think that among women, bitterness in difficult relationships may be the number one hindrance to experiencing personal revival. I was so burdened by this subject that I wrote a book called Choosing Forgiveness, Your Journey to Freedom. This book will help you honestly identify those who have wronged you and how they've hurt you, but then you'll discover the freedom that comes from choosing to forgive those who've sinned against you.
And Nancy, this is a terrific book that has helped so many women find freedom. Listeners can order a copy by visiting reviveourhearts.com. When you're dealing with difficult issues like the one Nay talked about, you need encouragement, a reminder of biblical truth. Well, we'd like to help encourage you day by day when tough situations arise. So we'd like to send you the brand new 2015 wall calendar. The theme is Peace in the Storm. The artwork by Timothy Botts and the quotes from Friends of Revive Our Hearts will remind you of the truth when you're in a storm. We'll send the Peace in the Storm wall calendar as our thank you when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount. Ask for it when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, on Monday, we'll hear from a woman who achieved success in business, went to nice parties, and owned beautiful clothes, but she was empty. Find out how she finally got her emptiness filled. Please be back Monday for Revive Our Hearts. Don't forget, you can watch the free live stream of True Woman 14 here on Friday, October 10th. Get all the details and be part of the True Woman Conference. For details, visit reviveourhearts.com. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.